The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and brother and sister." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
During this Catholic Schools Week, we continue to be good students of the one Master in the school that he continues to teach us in for the entirety of our life right here at Mass. Today we learn a very important lesson in the Gospel. There was opposition in Jesus' family among all his cousins, those called the brothers and the sisters. Just a short time ago in St. Mark's Gospel, they tried to get him out of the crowds because they thought he was losing his mind because he was working so hard. He was healing from dawn to dusk. He was preaching. He didn't even have time to eat, and they thought he had lost it. He was crazy a little bit, with the craziness of love. But they wanted to sort of muzzle him and restrain him. They didn't want that total passion. Jesus was going to go way beyond it. Jesus gave us an incredible principle here, that the way we relate to him is not fundamentally by blood, like the Jews. We could even say the way we fundamentally relate to him is not meant to be exclusively by his blood, which begins to flow through us in baptism when we become a member of his body. The fundamental way we relate to him is like Mary related to him, as a real doer of the word, somebody who listens so attentively to what he says and then acts on it. My mother and my brother and my sisters are whoever does the will of God. That's what is meant to characterize us as a Catholic. Today we have an incredible illustration of what it means to do the will of God and to follow it, to pay the price of doing it, and to delight in it. St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest saints who ever lived. When he was a young boy, when he was sent off to study, he was very, very bright, very young. He was sent to a new university, and there he met this new religious order that had just been founded called the Dominicans, after St. Dominic, the Order of Preachers. His mother had a brother who was the abbot of the great Benedictine monastery of Monte Cassino. And because Thomas was born into a noble family, she wanted him to go there and eventually become the abbot. He wanted instead to become a friar of these begging Dominicans, one of these mendicant orders, and that was way below their social class. So she didn't want to have anything to do with that. He politely persevered. When he still wouldn't get his parents' permission, when he was the age of majority, he took off. He was going to go up to Paris in order to be able to follow his vocation. His mother, what a woman, sent his brothers to go kidnap him. They basically arrested him and brought him back. They grew up in a castle. There was a dungeon in the castle. Stuck him in the dungeon for over a year so that he wouldn't follow his vocation. We see how he was persevering in doing the will of God even when it was a challenge. But God always makes lemonade out of lemons. And that imprisonment was one of the greatest things that ever happened in the history of the church, because it was there where Thomas easily was bored, that he needed to find something to read. So he asked that they bring him a Latin copy of the Gospel, and he did. And he proceeded over the course of that year to memorize it. He knew every word inside out. And it totally influenced the way he would look at the world and study anything, because at the tip of his tongue was all that God had revealed in Christ and in the reflections of the apostles about what it means for Christ to come. That led to the burst of his sacred theology. He became the greatest teacher in the history of the church after Jesus, and his writings still influence all priests and most religious to this very day and should be studied ever more by lay people. He tried to do two things: to merge revelation and reason, faith and reason. He took Aristotle's works, which had just been recently discovered, and he showed how reason and faith normally adduced to the exact same conclusion. And he was able to use faith to purify reason and reason to help faith go much more deeply into revelation. That we had no conflict between faith and science, because the truths of science and the truths of faith come from the one God who is true. And his incredible output in basically 25 years of writing, he filled well over 100 huge volumes, sometimes dictating up to six secretaries several different works at the same time. And when you read these works, the precision with which they're said, it's almost a miracle that somebody could have done that much, that well, that quickly. But here was a man doing the will of God, and the Holy Spirit was obviously with him. The great contribution of Thomas, in my opinion, is beyond his great theological output. It's fundamentally his writing on the Holy Eucharist. After the Eucharistic miracle of Orvieto and Bolsena, when the Pope was in Orvieto, he wanted to found the Feast of Corpus Christi. This was in 1263, leading into 1264. So he asked the two great theologians at the time, Thomas Aquinas and Bonaventure, to write the office of Corpus Christi with the hymns, with the readings, with the things that everybody's supposed to think about. It was a little bit of a holy competition. Thomas won, and his Eucharistic theology is still what we have. Whenever we adore the Lord in the Eucharist, where we sing the Tantum Ergo, it was written by him. When we sing the O Salutaris, it was written by him. When we sing the Panis Angelicus, it was written by him. When we sing the Adoro Te Devote, they were all written by him. Beyond a scholar, or a nerd, we'd call it today, he was fundamentally somebody very pious. In today's first reading, we see what David did when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem. He danced like a little crazy kid. He was so happy, so outpouring. It says he came dancing before the Lord with abandon, like a child, so happy at what the Lord was doing. And we're not going to see it in this reading, but the wife that he had received from Saul was incredibly embarrassed. Couldn't you restrain yourself before God? You're the king. It was the fitting response to do before the Lord. And Thomas likewise just let his entire heart pour out in incredible gratitude to the love of the Lord that would give us this incredible gift. I think one of the most beautiful lines I have ever heard in our faith, he has written in his Panis Angelicus: O res mirabilis, manducat Dominum, pauper et servus humilis. Oh, what an unbelievable reality. A poor and humble servant eats his God, eats his Lord. That's exactly what happens here. That's why he bursts out, Adoro te devote latens deita. I adore you, my hidden God, right here before me. He wants to lead us all in that holy abandon of love. That's why it's fitting that we're going to be beginning perpetual adoration this week, so that it's a response of total abandonment of love to God. That while everybody else is watching their soap operas, we'll make an appointment to come and with Jesus. Or when everybody else is snoring, we'll make an appointment and come and be with Jesus. It's a response of abandoned love. Last of the five things I want to talk about with St. Thomas Aquinas today is what he said to the Lord when the Lord said to him at the very end of his life, he didn't know that he would be dying so early, Scripsisti bene dime, Toma. He said it from the crucifix. You have written well of me, Thomas. Quid voleristi? What would you want? And Thomas responded, Nisi te, Domine. Nothing except you, Lord. I only want you. Today the Lord asks of us, what do you want? We prayed at the beginning of the Mass today. May we understand what Thomas taught and imitate what he accomplished. This was what he taught us most of all, and this was his great accomplishment, to become one with the Lord. What do you want? Nothing but you, Lord. Give me yourself in the Eucharist. Give me your wisdom and sacred scripture. Give me your knowledge and faith and reason. And give me the courage to follow my vocation, no matter what I need to suffer. This is the secret of Thomas Aquinas. It's why he's a doctor of the Church. Let us enflesh that wisdom too. Praise be Jesus Christ.